The reading is taken from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30, and you can find that on page 818 of the Pew Bible. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Beth. I love it when we have a part of the gospel that is not desperately doctrinal or heavy theologically, but is one of those life events in the ministry of Jesus. And, you know, it's so fresh, isn't it, to you? Let me just sort of picture it with you. Okay, Jesus and his disciples have been giving all sorts of important ministry opportunities to people. So they've gone out two by two, the 12, as Jesus has trained them and then given them authority to preach and to heal and to deliver. And they've gone out into the villages and towns, and then they've returned exhausted. And Jesus himself hasn't really had time to eat, hardly. They've been swarming around him and coming with their needs, and he's been listening and he's been praying for them and seeing illnesses cured and demons come out. And he says to his apostles, to the disciples, "Let's get aside. Let's go away and find some quiet and rest." And I don't know whether you've done this. Maybe on a holiday, you've made the mistake of taking your computer, your emailer with you. And in the way that you might then see, "Oh, no, that's happened. I must get in contact." You've immediately reverted back into work mode on holiday. So it was the disciples with Jesus. They arrived on the shore for their break, but only to be greeted by hundreds, thousands of men, women, and children who had come round on foot, having heard that they were going away to this destination. It had been leaked. Drat. And they faced suddenly huge need. And what does Jesus say? Did he say, "Get back in a boat, quick! Let's go off to another part of the lake. Going into the mist"? No. He looks and he sees that they're like sheep without a shepherd, and he just loves them because he's God. And so he says, "Come on, let's get these people sat down." And the reading continues, but we're going to have a snapshot in a moment from Beth again towards the end of that reading in chapter 6 of Mark. But I thought it'd be really good for us to hear what God's been doing among us, and two of our relatively new members of our congregation here have agreed to come and give testimony. So I'll just ask Richard Lee Costello, come on forward, please. And Michelle's there sat next to him. I'm hoping this is going to be audible, so he's going to use this one in a minute. Hi. You've got a couple of children, haven't you, Richard? Archie and Fergie?
Archie and Fergie, yes.
What happened to Archie the other day?
He was playing football, and as he was walking backwards, he... Did we hold the mic?
Yeah, thanks.
He fell over, and he put his arm out to stop him, but his arm buckled, so he ended up with a buckle fracture in his arm, unfortunately. So his arm's in a bit of a cast at the moment.
So is he in the groups today?
He is, yeah.
Okay, we'll look out for Archie. And Fergie, I think she had that dragon toothless last time that I was around,
That's still going everywhere.
A great
thing. Actually, I came into their home with Kath because they'd just done a Christianity Explored course. So could you tell us a little bit, how was it you came to do Christianity Explored, and what was it like?
I think it was over Christmas period, you were giving out leaflets about the Christianity Explored. So we met Kath and the couple of others upstairs, and we spoke about possibly doing a group course. We decided to do it at our house, and it was a seven or eight sessions, which involved a discussion, like a small discussion about what's happened in the last week and what we've learnt from the previous session. Then it was followed on by a DVD, Rico Tice, and it's all based on the Gospel of Mark. He explains how it all fits in together and with life and expectations and all this sort of stuff. And then it's followed by further discussion, and then you have homework, which gets you back into reading the Bible more regularly.
Okay, so when you came to your first session, or rather you didn't have to come because Kath came to you with Moira, I think, did you feel, how do you feel about it?
Happy to be doing it.
Good.
Yeah, good. That's all I can say.
Not worried at all?
Not worried, no. More okay. Happy,
good. Yeah. Good, great. Fantastic. I mean, were you a Christian already?
Yes, I was a Christian already. Fell out, I suppose one way you could put it, sort of like I fell out of discipleship as such, and just sort of like wasn't reading the Bible enough, wasn't going to church enough, and I think life just got in the way with children and the business of life. And but the course has just brought me back closer to Jesus.
Good.
Which is really what, yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Can you just tell us a bit more about that? You know, how he's working in your life at the moment?
Do you he's working in several different ways at the moment. Yeah. Certainly by going wayward a little bit, I've got a few creases to iron out, which he's helping me with at the moment. And I was also planning on doing some sort of youth work at some point, probably next year, because we've just moved and a lot of stuff going on. But obviously hearing that Kath and Charles are leaving, I've decided to, well, it come about that now was the right time to offer my services, so I've put a name forward to volunteer with youth.
That is wonderful, actually. God's timing isn't always our plan, is it?
No.
And Richard is, you know, willing to come alongside Laura Scott-Horn and Katrina with the youth. So that's lovely. Laura's there at the back, aren't you, Laura? So anybody else who's feeling this call to get stuck in with youth, then like Richard, you know, don't be ashamed to ask for more and explore it, find out all that it's about, so that you know. Do you know what you're letting yourself in for?
Probably not.
Give him a big round of applause. Thank you very much indeed. Obviously, with Richard, like us all, it's not about what we do for God, chiefly. It's about what he's done for us. And out of that, then, comes our empowerment, our service to others. But I've got Mojde here, Mojde Bibi, who often comes to an evening service, and sometimes with her husband, Rupert, live in Monterey Drive. It's very, very nice that you could come up and just tell us about something that's happened to you recently.
Yeah. This is very scary, so please bear with me. So I really found the Lord about 3 years ago, and I have to say, since I found the Lord, it has made a dramatic change in my life and in my family's life. I've seen his goodness time and time again, his blessings and in healings. But what I'm about to share with you is probably the most dramatic experience that I've had the privilege of facing personally. So to cut a long story short, back in April, I just went for a routine mammogram, and about a fortnight later, I was called by the hospital to go and have an appointment the following Wednesday, because they'd seen, obviously, some suspicious tissues in one of the areas in my breast. You can imagine, I was very frightened. I was very anxious, I was very nervous. And then that was on a Friday, and I thought, okay, the best thing I can do to start praying and to immerse myself in the Word of God throughout the weekend, which is what I did. And I remember kind of going through the Bible and continually praying. I particularly focused on the healing prayers, because Jesus' ministry is all about healing. And it wasn't until Monday night that I came across James 5, 14 to 15, which I know you're all familiar with, which it like this spoke to me. And it says, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up." And it was like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And on Tuesday, I came here. I was met by Jill and Marion, and I shared my story with them. And they took me to the corner, and they prayed with me. And I felt a lot calmer. And then as I was leaving, Jill said, well, Charles unfortunately was away, I think, in London. But she said, I'll pass the message on to him to see if he can speak with you before you go for your appointment on Wednesday morning. And in the evening, I had a call from Charles, which I wasn't expecting, knowing he'd had a really long day. And he offered to come with Kath and to pray for me and anoint me, which is what I wanted. And I was delighted to hear from him. So he came round and he prayed for me. And Kath was there, my husband Rupert was there, and I had their support. And it's hard to put it in words, but I felt, as Charles was praying, I felt a tremendous sense of peace within me and around me, and I felt extremely calm. And I remember as Charles was leaving, he said to me, what I like you to do when you get up in the morning, before you go to your appointment, just pray to the Lord and open the Bible and see what the Lord has got to say to you. And forgive me for reading this, but this is how the Lord, I believe, spoke to me. So the Bible reading on that day was Luke 8, 40 to 56, which you all know, it's about a dead girl and a sick woman. And when I got to the verse 48, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I can't explain it really, but it was like a light has come on in my mind. I knew with complete clarity that I was healed. As I said, I don't know how to put it in words, but I had no doubt in my mind that the prayers were answered. So I went to the hospital with my husband, and they did more mammograms in the morning. And this is where it got really interesting, because the consultant called my husband and I in, and the first thing he said to both of us, he said, "Well, I can't figure this out. Let me show you something." He showed us the mammogram from 3 weeks previously and compared it with the mammograms they'd taken on early that morning. And praise the Lord, he showed us where they found areas of growth or suspicious area, which he'd circled. And in the mammograms from that morning, it was completely clear. They'd just completely gone. And he said, "Well, I can't figure this out." To say he was surprised is probably a bit of an understatement. But he said, "Well, let's do further tests." So he examined me and he did an ultrasound, and they both came clear. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I don't know what's happened, but go home. You don't need to be here." And I felt, you can imagine, the tremendous sense of joy that Lord, in his compassion and mercy, has kind of reached out and healed me. And I give glory to the Lord, because healing comes from him. But I really am grateful, and I wanted to thank Marion, Jill, Charles, and Kath, because with all my heart, I believe the Lord used them as an instrument to this amazing outcome, because there is no medical, scientific, and logical explanation for what happened to me. So glories to the Lord. And I want to finish, I'm not going to bore you anymore, by a little quote from the Bible, which I read day in and day out, and it helps me time and time again when I face challenges in life. And John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." And certainly in my case, that came true. So that's my story. Thank you very much.
is such good news. Talk about being bored. How could we be? Isn't it wonderful what God is doing? Should we just pray for Richard and Mojde at this stage in the service? Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Richard and Mojde's lives and the way in which you've brought them to you to find you to be their Lord, and the way in which you're healing in their family, in their personal life, in which you're straightening out those creases, in which you're enabling them to come and give such a testimony this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Jesus Be the Center. It's a newish song for some, and it's a slow song. Maybe, do you think, I know that this is important to coordinate VPS with choir, but I think it would be lovely if we could have the first two verses and chorus and then go back to the beginning and start for everybody. Is that okay? So choir, just to lead us, the first two verses and chorus, and then we'll stand and all sing. Join in from the beginning. Please be seated, and Beth will come to read the other part of the Gospel reading. Thank you.
This part of the reading is again from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him, and rushed about that whole region, and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Jesus is among us. We can exercise the imagination and place ourselves back by that lake. Or we can actually say, yes, there are billions of people around the world today who believe that Jesus is alive, that he is the living God, and that he moves by his Spirit and saves today, heals today, delivers today. And we're going to sing later on about how Satan tries to disrupt and deceive, to muddy the waters, to cloud it, maybe with intellectual questions, too many. We're trying to work out exactly whether the Big Bang happened this way or the other way, or evolution this way or the other way. And we fail to see what's right in front of our noses, how great God is just in giving us love, in giving us family, in giving us friendship, in giving us a spiritual side that beckons to meet with God. And if you're like that, then you're like the person and the people who came to Jesus in that reading that Beth has just read. They flocked to him. They just came as they were. And they said, Lord, we need your touch. And in fact, they were prepared just to touch the fringe of his garment. And they were affected. They were made whole. And so that's what we can do today. Later in the service, at the end of the service, Julie will be in the prayer corner. Julie is just with us for another couple of months, and then shortly after Kath and I leave, Julie's going up to Leicester to be with new husband. So we're going to miss her tremendously, but why don't you take this opportunity of just going with your need and sharing it with Julie? We've also got other prayer ministry people here, I see, dotted around, other clergy and readers, they're dotted around. And if you're not sure and somebody's very busy in the prayer corner for a long time, then why don't you just ask, is there a clergy? Is there a reader? And I'll be floating around there somewhere. And just ask for prayer. Come with whatever that is. Or stay in your seat and pray there. But don't leave aside this opportunity. If you say, well, I like what I hear of Jesus, that he is so good, that he is the Son of God, that he's so loving. Could he care about me? Yes. Yes. We've heard from Richard, we've heard from Mojde, with many others that could have come up and spoken today. And God is alive, Jesus is at work, and we can come to him just as we are, bring our need, and he will touch us. Do let him have his way in your heart. The first thing to do is to give him lordship. And that's what he wants above all. The external parts of the body, like I described earlier, are one thing. But it's really, actually, first of all, he wants our wills, our whole heart, our lives, just to be submitted to his lordship. And when we invite him in to be Lord, he comes in power and he does great stuff. Whether it's to be that Jill there's to remain in a wheelchair, and that she's to remain giving testimony as somebody who strives with great affliction and difficulty and disability, but yet who glorifies the Lord. Whether it's that external ailment that will immediately vanish, or whether it'll be remaining, but God will do a work deeper and inside that will be even more significant. He wants to do that work today.